Good morning, Riverstones Church. Today is the 29th of August, 2021, day 12 of lockdown level 4. I pray that you reflect upon the words. I forgot to turn the timer on, Raj, so we're going to start. Oh, we're going live. Sorry. Just helps me know where we're going to. Thank you. Sorry for that. Oh, I've got to take this off anyway. That's better. I wondered why it was hard to read. We'll start again. Okay, righto. You ready? Okay. Good morning, Riverstones Church. It's the 29th of August, 2021, day 12 of lockdown in level 4. I pray that as you listen to my message, you will also reflect upon the words from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its peoples belong to Him. No matter what is happening around you with restrictions, with rules and with confinement, the Lord God Almighty is there. And we must, like King David did, dance before Him. David set a spiritual precedent over the nation of Israel, not a civil ruling. King David moved away from his royal position and worshipped the Lord God Almighty. Would you do the same? Let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went up and brought the ark of the God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. This is David's second attempt to move the ark. But this time he's done it differently. He spent many days seeking the Lord. And bringing the Lord's presence into the city was a matter of extreme value to him, stating something that God is in control. He'd only gone 6 paces when they stopped to give sacrifices to God. Right at the very beginning. 6 paces. He's not even on the street going down the footpath and they're sacrificing oxen and fatted calves. David wore a linen ephod. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, it tells us that David was actually dressed in a robe of fine linen, as were the Levites and the singers. But David was so intense in his worship to the Lord, he took off his kingly robe and then with all of his might danced with joy before the Lord. We've recently seen the Olympic Games and we've seen our rowers and athletes and many of our country doing things with all of their might and many of them achieving gold. But David was doing it more than with all of his might and more than achieving gold. He was worshipping the Lord. He was declaring his allegiance to God Almighty. He jumped, he leaped, he whirled with exuberance, and he danced out of a heartfelt worship for our God. And he was not in his underpants, as some scripts would say. He was actually wearing the priest's garment, a sleeveless tunic, an ephod. Some of them were incredibly decorated, but he was clothed fully and not obscene. Is your worldly position more important than your praise to God? Would you remain as a king with the robes on and this is my place? Or would you also step down and say, God, I'm giving my all to you. Everything I have, I yield to you. It was a momentous occasion, a big parade, shouts of joy. And 2 Samuel tells us that they were blowing ram's horns and trumpets, crashing cymbals. Yeah, that's you, Kutapai. This message is for you and Alex. Crash your cymbals. Loud playing of harps and lyres. It was a noisy celebration. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. These are sad words that the king's daughter is despising her husband. Michal was filled with contempt. She was not on the street being a part of this parade or procession, but looking down from a window as if she was above what the king was doing. Various versions of the Bible use the words contempt, scorn, thinking he looked undignified. The New Century Version says that she hated him. She looked down and judged his actions, possibly thinking that they were all for show. A question to all of you out there. Have you ever looked down on someone? You've checked that their actions are just for show. They want to big note themselves. They want to improve themselves. I think we need to take a check of that, because David was not doing anything for himself. He was doing it for the Lord. Some of our congregation are from South Africa. Many years ago, but it was in my lifetime, I can remember the man called Nelson Mandela was scorned for his stand against apartheid. Now that nation has been completely transformed because someone took a stand, even though he was looked down upon with scorn. So 2 Samuel 20 tells us that David continued with the procession through the streets of Jerusalem. He even went to a specially prepared tent for the ark. He did not bring the ark from the tabernacle into Jerusalem. He made a new tabernacle, a new tent for the ark to go to. And once it arrived there, he gave burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. And then he blessed every person in Israel with a gift of a loaf of bread. Some Bibles say some wine, some say some meat, and then also a cake of raisins. Every person in Israel got a gifting for this momentous occasion. Be a part of this and join with it. Something spiritual is happening in Jerusalem. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. So he's gone home to bless his family. And she's met him at the door and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord." Note that he says that it was to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, not my people, but God's people who were the nation of Israel. Verse 22, "And I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Michal ridiculed David's actions. She spoke in disgust about David's dancing before the Lord. She spoke with the pride of her father Saul, not the humility and the joy that her husband was experiencing. She must have known what was going to happen. This event would have taken quite some planning. When you read through 2 Chronicles 15, you'll see that David did a lot of structure. He got all the Levites and all the priests and the song leaders ready before they even brought the ark into the city. But Michal showed an underlining bitterness that God had used David to unite Israel and not her father Saul. And there's prejudice in her words that you were shamelessly uncovering himself like a base fellow, like a commoner. Michal wanted the position of wife of the king. And David came down to be an average person praising a very exuberantly glorious God. Charles Spurgeon preached a message on this in July the 1st, 1888. His words say the king came home to bless his household, wishing that all his family might share in his joy. Exactly at that moment, his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, who had felt disgusted at seeing her husband dressed like a common Levite and leading the way in the midst of the common people, came out to meet him full of furious scorn. Her language to him must have acted as if a man had thrown a pail of cold water into his face. Spurgeon continues with sarcastic words, villainously exaggerating what he had done and imputing to him what he had never done. She scolded the man she had scorned. How he must have felt it for the moment. Put yourself in that place. How did David respond? We'll find out soon. Spurgeon then says, we need not wonder if some have thought that his answer to Michal was somewhat bitter. Remember that David was not Jesus. He was David. A forerunner of Jesus, a type of Jesus, but he was a mere man. Have you ever been ridiculed? Have you been spoken ill of? Have you been spoken against? When you see something that's of absolute value for your nation or value for the people around and you take a stand for it, when you stand up for what you know is right in God's eyes, even though it may not be right in some of the civil eyes, then you possibly could be ridiculed. A lady by the name of Rosa Parks hopped on a bus and she was scorned and ridiculed and spoken ill of because she sat in the front seat and her skin color was not white. Martin Luther King, the man who had the "I have a dream" speech, was ridiculed, was even imprisoned because of what he believed in. We need to be very careful in the nation of New Zealand and the nations around the world that we're not ridiculed for when we're standing for what is God's righteousness. The laws that are coming in this nation are horrendous. Be bold enough to take a stand. David stood by his actions. This is his exploit number 7. And I believe of all of David's exploits and all of his actions, this probably is the most important of all. He showed that he was a man after God's own heart. He broke surmised boundaries on what a king should do. Israel had never had a king before. They didn't really know what a king should do, but Michal has suggested, no, the king should be the leader and right up the front there and all-powerful. Well, he is all-powerful. But David broke those boundaries and met with the Lord as if he was just a plain person. He showed that God can be worshipped by all. What happened at Easter? When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped in two so that all could come to worship the Lord. David is like a forerunner of that by going down, as Michal says, to the base commoner people and declaring his worship. He showed that God is God, but he cares for each and every one of you. And Riverstones Church, we care for each and every one of you. Those of you that are a bit lonely in this lockdown, those of you who are challenged, those who've got some anxiety, please note that we have split up and we're doing a pastor's ring around with a couple of other helpers, and you will be contacted. But if you need to get hold of anyone, ring myself, ring Pastor Gina, ring Pastor Tanya, and we are there for you. There is not a hierarchical thing, it is a oneness, and we want to help you through this situation. David stood by his actions, praising the Lord. He had spent time with his Lord, seeking him. What is the right way to bring an ark, the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of the Lord, into the Jerusalem? And David's heart was to do this, to say to Jerusalem, you need the Lord in this city. This is a spiritual action that's happening. Yes, it's happening in the physical, but his praise showed it was a spiritual action. And we need to make certain what we do for our nation is on a spiritual action. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Tanya spoke on self-care. She spoke about spending time with God, about unplugging from what you're doing in the busyness and getting recharged and reconnected. It is essential, not an indulgence, to do that. As she was speaking, I thought of, I've been working on my caravan at home, and I've been using a lot of electric tools, and I thought of a drill. Got a battery at the bottom of it, and we can use it to drill a hole. But, oh, the drill's getting slower. Oh, the drill has stopped. When we try to do things in our own right, we can run out of power. But luckily, for us and for the drill, we can get the battery and we can put it into a battery charger. But remember that when your battery is out of your drill, the drill will not work anymore. It needs a charged battery to go in it to make it work. A drill is not like a laptop or a computer or a phone, which you can sometimes still ring on while you've got the wire attached. A drill is the essence of where we've got to be and where David was, why he could stand so strong. We have to take the battery out of the drill and plug it into a bigger power, a power source. And that's what we have to do with our life. We need to plug in to a power source. And as we go through life serving God and proclaiming his truth, there is a cost to that to our human body, and we will run down. But David penned Psalm 24 as he was going through this. And he said, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. And we need to make certain as we take time out, like David has said there, and unplug from the world and seek him, that if there is something that is not pure in our hearts, let's lay it down. if there's been an idol that's encroached upon our lives and is taking over the power of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, then we need to deal with that. And it says, never tell lies. Make certain that the truth we speak and the things we quote are absolute truths. In our battery charger, the power is coming in. When we seek God, we need to have the King of Glory come into our lives. David then penned further in Psalm 24, open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. The King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Let the King of Glory enter in, the Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. I believe this is speaking of Jesus is our King of Glory. He is the leader of the armies. But do we all recharge the same way? No. A walk down a beach, just pondering in the majesty of what God has done. Even in lockdown, you can do that. Stand outside at night time. It's beautiful. It's got quieter. And the moorpawks are bouncing all across Upper Hutt. You can hear them chirp from one area of bush to another area of bush. You can get into a DVD teaching at home. You can praise the Lord. You can lift up music and let it come into your life. And remember that sometimes, and I've got two chargers here, but only one I'm using, there's a thing called a fast charger, and sometimes there's a thing called a slow charger. And at times you need a fast charge to give you some power really quickly. But we've actually got time to take the slow charger, to let it sink in and soak into our heart. But we must unplug from the world if we're to receive his input. When we are charged up, then when we're rebuked for having been with the Lord and praising him, we've got the stamina and the ability to answer that. Charles Spurgeon gave us a warning in his same sermon. He said, always suspect some danger nigh when you perceive too much delight. It may sound like a paradox, but it's true. And experience has proven that. That we never seem to be so near to meeting the devil as when we've just met our God. Sometimes you're having a magnificent time with the Lord and immediately you'll get a text, you'll get an email, you'll get a video, you'll get someone come in there and try to cut you down like Macau did. But when you're full of the Lord, then you can praise him. David penned and wrote several of the Psalms just after this actions, just after he took the ark to the center of Jerusalem. He wrote his thoughts and they show us how to recharge. Let's read through them here. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant. Hang on, I've lost it there. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. That's it. Forgot about that line. Are you fully charged? And are you able to dance before the Lord? On your time when you're in the battery charger, in the time when you're going, God, remember to use these words. Proclaim his greatness. Let the world know what he has done. Oh, God hasn't done that much. I can remember my father telling me as he was in World War II and fighting with the Japanese, the atrocities that were planned and did happen to people who were in the prisoner of war camps. But that has been overcome and beaten and done. But we need to make certain that these kind of deeds where God has moved and brought our society onto better places are still able to happen. No matter what happens around the world, God is still God, and his wonderful deeds need to be exalted. His miracles, the ruling he's given, he is the Lord our God. Are you fully charged and able to dance before the Lord? Will you praise him even though you may be challenged and despised? It's a tough question. It's easy to answer yes, but think about it. And then remember that he is giving you power. He's come in. He's come to us. And all of a sudden, we've got action and we can go. Hebrews 13:15 tells us, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The New Living Translation version is slightly different, and I love their version of the same scripture. Because it says, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God through Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Riverstones Church, friends, others viewing this, proclaim allegiance to his name. Trust in the Lord, and we will get through these situations. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you for listening. If you're part of our church, 3 o'clock this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, we've got a quiz show. Just a time to chat and to talk about things. Our home groups are going during the week, and a lot of those are in Zoom areas. And we trust and believe that by Wednesday morning, we'll be out of this situation and be moving towards somewhere where we can fellowship. Bless you all. From Pastor Gina, from myself and our cameraman. Amen.